Lord God, we're thankful for your word that you have spoken to us and revealed to yourself. And in the past, you spoke through apostles and prophets. But in these last days, you have spoken unto us by your Son, who is the radiance of your glory, the exact representation of your being. So as we consider your word now, we ask you to illuminate our hearts to the truth of it, to speak to us of who you are and what it means that God came, that he walked among us. Grant it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So the text for the message today was already read. It was Matthew 1 that Debbie read at the beginning of the service, so I won't repeat that. Rather, I'll start here. O Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou Romeo? What's in a name? That which we call a rose by any other name would smell as sweet. And I think that's probably the first time I ever started a message by quoting Shakespeare, but that's William Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet, and you probably all are familiar with it, Juliet standing on the balcony lamenting. She is lamenting about this. The one she loves bears a name to which her family has sworn enmity. And she asks the question, what's in a name? And it's a good question. The truth of the matter is that a name can hold untold significance. And nowhere is that more clearly witnessed than in the person who we come to worship tonight, the Christ child, Jesus. So the passage that was read for us in the beginning of the service indicated that the name of our Lord Jesus was not a randomly assigned name. It was, in fact, a divinely assigned name. How many of you have struggled with naming a child? Has that ever been a struggle? What do I name this child? Are you sorry that you've named them what you've named them? I started singing to George Susmilch one time. George, out of the jungle. And he said, I went through years of therapy to get over my name. The name of our Lord Jesus was not a randomly assigned name. It was, in fact, a divinely assigned name. The angel made it clear. You are to give him the name Jesus. So Mary and Joseph didn't have to labor over selecting a name. They didn't have to thumb through books of babies' names. They didn't have to practice how's it going to sound rolling off of our tongues. His name was determined and commanded by God. You are to name him Jesus. And I'll get there in a second, Nisha. Yes. I heard her whisper where I'm going in a few minutes. What's in a name? In the case of Mary's son, much is in a name. His name speaks volumes. So on Sunday mornings, we've been studying in Exodus. And the last couple of Sunday mornings, we've read as Moses encounters God in the appearance of a burning bush. And to my mind, the most significant element of that encounter between God and Moses is God's self-revelation to Moses of his own holy name. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and I say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me, and they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you were to say to the Israelites, I am has sent me. And God made it clear to Moses that he was seriously committed to that name, I Am. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, Yahweh, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is his name forever. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation. So his name, I Am, in Hebrew, Yahweh. This is a significant name, and the overarching implication of his name is that of transcendence. High and above and holy. He's not like us. He's other. That's what the name speaks. He is self-existent, self-sufficient, self-determining, and immutable, and the source of all else. That's what the name Yahweh means. So is the name Jesus significant? As that name, Yahweh, is significant? Does it convey to us truth about the nature of this child? So in Hebrew, as I alluded a minute ago, Nish, I heard whisper this name. In Hebrew, his name is Yeshua. It's not a name that was unique to Yeshua of Nazareth. There were many babies named Yeshua. Joshua, the Old Testament hero, in Hebrew his name is the same. An Old Testament hero, many mothers named their children after him. So it was not a unique name to this child, but in fact, Yeshua of Nazareth was uniquely qualified to fit the name. He only lived up to his name. And I haven't told you what it means yet. You may already know. But he only lives up to this name. In fact, it's more than a name. For Jesus of Nazareth, his name is his mission statement. It sums up everything that Christ is and everything that he came to do. Yeshua, the angel of the Lord informs Joseph, signifies this: he will save his people from their sins. So Yeshua, in Hebrew, combines the Hebrew name of God, Yahweh, with the word salvation. Yahweh saves, or I Am saves. That's what his name means. And in his name, we see this incomprehensible truth. Yahweh, the transcendent I Am, literally joins himself to the human condition. Literally joins himself to the human condition. The Creator places himself within the realm of the creature. This is profound, and I don't claim to understand, but he literally becomes part of his own creation. He, Yahweh, becomes one of us, Yeshua. Like us in every way, save sin. And thus he is uniquely qualified to save us from our sin. So the transcendent one draws near to us, so near that he shares in human flesh, so near that he is tempted in every point like we are, except that he remains sinless. His name, Yeshua, is his mission statement. It's why he came. Yahweh comes to save us from our sin, from our fallen and corrupted nature. But the final accomplishment of that salvation comes with a price. Our salvation wasn't free. The price was a wooden cross and a crown of thorns. Last year, I'm not going to have him do it now, but last year after I had this same picture up here, and at the end of the meeting, the screen went up, and the cross behind the screen kind of overshadowed the manger, and it was brought to mind this saying you've probably heard before: Jesus was born in the shadow of the cross. And it is true. Jesus was born in the shadow of the cross. Our salvation requires that the infant of Bethlehem lay down his precious life for us. One interesting thing of that encounter, Moses in the burning bush that I mentioned, was that the Hebrew word used to describe the bush is a thorn bush, and it's the only time that it's used in the Old Testament is in reference to the burning bush, thorn bush. That appearance of God, that was a theophany, an appearance of God in a physical form, but in the birth of Christ, something far more fantastical occurs. Yahweh actually, genuinely, literally becomes a man. Not a theophany, not just the appearance of a man, but the genuine article. Fully God, fully man. The very real infant boy was Yahweh incarnate, Yeshua. So he appeared as a burning bush to Moses. But when the thorn bush becomes a crown of thorns in his flesh, is nailed to the tree, it's more than a theophany, an appearance. It's the miracle of miracles. God becomes a man and dies on behalf of our sins to appease his own justice, his own demand for justice. His name is Yeshua. I am saves. His name is precious. Because his name reveals to us his nature, and it reveals to us his purpose, and it reveals to us what he would do in order to rescue a fallen race. The great I am joins himself to the human condition, and by his grace and by his might, he raises us from that fallen condition through Christ's substitutionary life and death and resurrection. He brings many sons to glory. He became one of us in order that we might become one with him. So, my friends, draw near. Bow down. And worship. You were to give him the name Yeshua, because he will save his people from their sins. What's in a name? In the case of Yeshua, everything is in his name. Yeshua, Yahweh, saves. Blessed be his holy name. Amen. So pray with me. Lord our God, we are grateful. We are grateful for your Son, Jesus Christ. We are grateful that he came as one of us, that he took on human flesh, that he revealed your face, and he accomplished the purpose for which he came. I am saves. And through Christ you have saved and redeemed us. And for that we are grateful. We pray in Jesus' name, Lord. Amen.